Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop with the Roundhouse Podcast, American Athletic Conference Tournament Edition. I'm here with Dave Dahl of Shocker Radio. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Temple game and a little bit about the Houston game and some other topics here in Orlando. Wichita State plays Houston on CBS, 2:30 p.m. Dave and Mike and Bob Hull will go on the air around 1:30 on KEYN 103.7. Dave, thanks for giving me a few minutes here.
You're welcome, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
Should be interesting game today. First, let's kind of dispense with Temple, and I guess I'm kind of torn. Are we happy to be done with Temple because Temple is such a pain for the Shockers, or are we going to miss a little bit of this drama and the emotion that these three games prepared us for?
I think there's kind of a rivalry that started with Temple. They're good. They're a different type of ball club. They're good individually. They take the ball to the basket well. They have good one-on-one moves. It's like more the inner-city kids instead of the team concept, and they're very good at it. Their coach is just superb. I've enjoyed all of those Temple games, but even back in the old days when the Shockers played Temple, it was just a lot of work to beat that team.
I've been trying to come up with a corollary in the Missouri Valley Conference of a team that was very up and down throughout most of the season, but really excelled against the Shockers. Maybe the closest I could come, there are years where Evansville seemed to give Wichita State problems that maybe it did not give other teams. That's been Temple's role this year, and they've been very good at it.
And that's a good analogy. Back when Evansville would beat Wichita State, they always had good shooters. They didn't defend necessarily very well. I don't think Temple's a particularly good defensive team. As a matter of fact, Wichita State shot the ball pretty well against them, 48.1%. They hit almost 40% of their three-point shots against Temple, but they let Temple score against them. They let Temple shoot very well against them, especially from the perimeter. And those were the prototypical Evansville teams. That's a good analogy.
Well, we're done with Temple, and this is what Wichita State wanted when it joined this conference, was good competition, entertaining games, and Temple certainly did their part. It's games that people will really look forward to next year. Dave, you played for Wichita State 1968 to 1971, so you would have had some experience in some of these schools that Wichita State is now associated with in the American Athletic Conference. Cincinnati was a Valley member then, Tulsa, and Memphis. Has this trip down memory lane sparked any memories from you from your playing days in those schools?
Very much. Starting with Cincinnati, they were always a top 10 team. They had superb players. And that was back in the days when you had a top 20. And I think it was 16 teams maybe that went to the NCAA tournament. It was just totally different. And you had to win your conference outright or have a playoff, but you didn't have a postseason tournament to be able to go to the NCAA tournament. The Valley was stocked with a lot of really, really good teams. Louisville was a perennial top 10 team. Cincinnati was tough. Memphis went to the Final Four the year after I graduated. Drake was a Final Four team during my time in school. So there was an abundance of good schools, led in particular by Cincinnati. They were tough. Going into Cincinnati to play there was really difficult. Ron Mendel hit a game-winning shot right at the end of the game, and we sprinted off the floor when we beat Cincinnati at Cincinnati, and I think they were a top 12 team at the time because we were afraid the crowd was going to go berserk against us. So that was always a good rivalry. Memphis, with Larry Keenan and Larry Finch, turned into just an extraordinary team. Hank Iba's son, Mo, was the coach of that team at the time. They loaded up with talent that came right out of Memphis for the most part. I think Finch was a Memphis kid and turned into a coach there. They were good, and it was an excellent rivalry that developed there as well. And Tulsa, probably our biggest rival in the Missouri Valley Conference, so close that a lot of their fans could come up here, our fans could come down there. We treated their fans with hostility when they came here, and they treated us the same way when we went down there. Regardless of how good the teams were, those games with Tulsa were just a bloodbath with very, very good athletes and always tough games. And that continued on for as long as Tulsa was in the league. So, yes, very strong memories, fond memories, if you can call them that, respectful memories of those teams that were in the Valley at that time that now Wichita plays in the AAC.
The fans, we're going to get to that later. That's become a big story here at the here in Orlando. I don't think it's much of a surprise to the Wichita people, but it's really been interesting. We've got six seniors at Wichita State that are concluding their careers sometime here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, depending on how things go. How would you summarize this group and the legacy that it will leave behind?
Unbelievable would be the best way to describe this group. When Tekale Cotton was here, everybody said, how are we going to replace Tekale, and we'll never be able to replace Clay Anthony Early. And players are different. Every player is irreplaceable, exactly. But you get somebody that has different strengths. When you had Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet, All-Americans, justifiably so, led Wichita State to a Final Four, and all of the other guys are role players. One of the things that Marshall does best with his assistant coaches is to develop kids. We said last night on the air, who would ever have thought that Shaq Morris would have turned into the player that he turned into? People call in the pregame show and said, who's going to replace Shaq Morris? Well, do you mean Shaq Morris, who's been in the program for 5 years? Well, it's going to be hard to replace that. If you mean the Shaq Morris over the first 2 to 3 years of being a Shocker, a lot of people could have replaced him. But the recruiting class is very good. I have been so happy for Shaq, the job that he has done, the recognition that he is getting, the fact that he is a 30-minute-a-game player, the last 8 or 10 ball games, that he doesn't commit too many silly fouls anymore. He contributes. He's confident. He supports his teammates. What can you say about Rashard Kelly that isn't an understatement about him? I mean, he's just been amazing. He's been the heart and soul of this team. He makes sure that people play hard the whole ball game. He's the leading rebounder on the club, second in assists. He plays 24 minutes per game. He's been playing 30 minutes a game recently. He has to be on the floor, and that's even if he doesn't get any baskets. Zach Brown is the roll-up-the-sleeves, go-to-work type of guy. He was the guy that took Tekale Cotton's place, defended well against critical big shooting guards, and has done a credible job. And then he's given them some points, too, but he subordinated his offensive responsibilities, trying to do things defensively. Ron Onerger, when he came in, he considered himself a perimeter player. We said early on in his career he viewed Ron Baker as his main competitor for playing time because he considered himself a perimeter player. And then Coach Marshall got him to play inside, and he turned into a real asset for Wichita State. He's not getting quite as many minutes the last 8 or 10 games because some of the other players are playing so well, and he needs to get McDuffie some playing time as well. When Connor Frankamp came in, I remembered seeing him play 5 to 6 times a year, every year in his high school career. I had never seen anything quite like it. When he decided to transfer to Wichita State, I was ecstatic about that. And you can say, well, maybe he should be scoring more points or whatever the case. He has more of a complete ball game. He is great handling the ball. He rarely turns it over. He'll give you points at the free throw line. He isn't afraid to take big shots. I think he's had a tremendous career at Wichita State, and that's one of the reasons we've been very, very successful. Darrell Willis has been a great offensive player, kind of a carefree, enjoy the game, go out and do whatever it takes to win the ball games, like his wrong-footed jump shot toward the end of the game. He has no qualms about taking those kinds of shots. He's turned into a three-point shooter. He's one of the better rebounders on the team. He still gets his double-figure points. He's had some foot problems, and that's caused him not to be quite as effective for the entire ball game. So he's been a real asset also. All of those players play very valuable roles, and one of the key things about it is, and we talk about this, nobody ever looks at their stat sheets when they come out to get interviewed. The only stat that they're concerned about is the one stat that says how many points Wichita State got and how many points their opponent got. They're concerned about winning the ball game, and that started when these guys were all freshmen or if they came in as a junior college transfer when they were juniors.
This group had the big job of moving on after that, you know, the previous era, Early, Baker, VanVleet, as you mentioned, and they've done a really nice job of getting this program into the American Athletic Conference. Let's get to the Cougars. Houston 25-6. They're playing very well, have really played well since they defeated Wichita State down there in late January. They've won 9 of 10. I think they're playing for some of the same things Wichita State is, which is to move up a seed line or two in the NCAA tournament. I've seen them projected as maybe a 5 or a 6 seed, so they've got, you know, they can make some gains here. What makes the Cougars go in your mind?
They're an excellent offensive team. They have a number of players that are shooting the ball well. I'm surprised at their defense. I mean, they just took Wichita State behind the woodshed and just beat them to a pulp down there. It was kind of interesting. When Wichita State played Houston in Wichita, the Shockers were up, I think, by 30 at one point, and they still had 10 minutes left in the ball game. It could have easily been a 40-point win for Wichita State. I thought Houston was out of its element. And then the coaching staff did what they normally do, and it's gracious to do that, and they put in the non-scholarship players with about 6 minutes left. All of a sudden, Houston caught fire, and then it turns into an 18-point game. Houston outscored Wichita State as a result by, I think, 1 in the second half, and that's something a coach can build on. Now, this team may have been better than you in the first half, but with your backs against a wall in a hostile environment, you fought back and you outplayed them in the second half. They did not play them the entire second half, but they kept their starters in, and their starters outplayed Wichita State's non-scholarship players the last 6 minutes. Well, they're thinking pretty highly of themselves. Then they go back to Houston. And when Wichita State comes in to Houston to play at the small field house that they have now, Houston just worked Wichita State over. The Shockers were never in the game. I just think that they didn't expect to be defended as well as Houston defended them. And you probably know this. The Board of Regents in Houston permitted Houston to play the game against Wichita State at the Toyota Center, which seats about 20,000 fans, and they felt they could sell it out. And Kelvin Sampson said, no, we're not going to do that, which cost the university, they think, about $250,000 because of the extra ticket sales. We're going to play them in the field house, which we've used as our home field house, which seats 8,200, 8,500, because we think we have a better chance of beating Wichita State, and it will help establish our program this year. And it worked for him because of that environment. Wichita State was never in the game at Houston. I thought Wichita State flinched when Houston was very physical with them right off the bat. They were intimidated by Houston. They doubled up Landry Shamet every time he crossed the court. They took him out of the game, and nobody else stepped up. They gambled. They would leave somebody free so they could double up Landry, and they just got very physical with Wichita State, which resulted in the Shockers scoring only 19 baskets in the ball game, a season low, shooting 20% from three, a season low, making 59 points, a season low, shooting 32.8% from the field, a season low, and they had 18 turnovers, many of which resulted in easy baskets for Houston. I don't expect that to happen again. Candidly, I expect Wichita State to win this game, and they'll have to do a few things to neutralize one or two of the key players for Houston. But Houston is a very, very strong team with transfers. Three of the four top players of this ball club are junior college transfers, and Coach Sampson's been able to blend them into a cohesive unit, and with junior college transfers, sometimes that's difficult to do, and he's done a superb job at it, and that's why they're so good.
You mentioned them, Houston's aggressive defense, really getting after Landry Shamet, getting the ball out of his hands. What's the counter to that if you're Wichita State? How do you get prepared?
What you have to do when a double team comes at you is you have to attack it. You can attack it like Connor Frankamp did not too long ago when he was in the ball game, and I think that was the game that Landry was sick. As the double team is coming to you, you immediately move toward it. You penetrate it on the dribble. You have several players that come up, one at the top of the key. You have one off to your right along the half-court line, one down the sideline, and one over the head of the man that's coming up at the top of the key, and somebody's got to be open, and then you attack it. What you have to do is you have to make them pay for their overplaying. I thought Wichita State did a great job of that with Temple last night. Temple overplayed the passing lanes, and the Shockers set some back picks. They dribble penetrated against them. And I think they'll be able to do that against Houston. Now, Houston's been playing very, very good defense. They're holding their opponents to 36% from the field in three of their last four. Their opponents have scored 56.7 points a game in three of their last four, but they haven't played very good teams the last handful of ball games. Wichita State has played better teams, and although that's happened, Wichita State has played just fine against better teams. I think Wichita State's going to be more ready to play this game than Houston is.
I would think there would be some lessons from Wichita State's win at Cincinnati, where the Bearcats also were aggressive, and you know the Shockers after that game talked about making plays. You beat that double team, and now you've got a you've got a 4-on-3 or a 3-on-2 advantage. You can apply some of those lessons against the Cougars, I would think.
And that's absolutely right. And Wichita State did make the Bearcats pay with that aggressive defense, and Cincinnati just never recovered from that. And Wichita State took it to the basket. They would get fouled. They hit their free throws. They shot over 50% from the field against Cincinnati. And even though WSU shot so poorly against Houston the last time out in Houston, I don't expect that to happen again. Wichita State's been hitting 50.9% of their shots in seven of their last eight ball games. They've just had one off game in the last eight. I expect them to shoot well against this Houston ball club.
I think if there's one thing we've seen throughout this American Athletic Conference schedule, great guards, and whichever set of guards plays the best, that team is likely to win. That's probably a basketball truism. Houston's got some really good ones. Rob Gray, first team All-Conference. Corey Davis, Galen Robinson, they are experienced. They can all shoot the ball. Very good players. What are your impressions of Houston's guards?
I think they're great. I think they can hit the ball, hit the basket from the outside. I really like Armani Brooks. I think he's a terrific player. He's shooting well. Didn't have a great game last night, but only played 21 minutes and scored 10 points. But he is shooting the ball very, very well. Corey Davis is the real McCoy. He's a superb player, very confident player. What impresses me is these guys, most of them were junior college players, like Corey Davis was a big star at San Jacinto. Devin Davis was a huge star at Odessa. Rob Gray was a star at Howard Junior College. And these guys come in, and yet they're more concerned about winning basketball games than they are about their own statistics, with the exception, I think, Rob Gray hunts his shot just a little bit. But if one could shoot as well as Rob Gray shoots, they should hunt their shot. He's just a superb player. I think one of the keys to this ball game is going to be Armani Brooks, and if Wichita State can neutralize Armani Brooks and Corey Davis. They did a great job defensively against this club in Wichita. Rob Gray was neutralized by Zach Brown. And I said to Zach before we went on the air as we interviewed him because of the great job he did on Rob Gray, well, congratulations on Rob Gray. And he said, hey, that's not me. That's the whole team, number one. And number two, Rob's going to have an off game occasionally. He and Rob know one another pretty well because they're both from the Houston area. But he said he's going to get his, and we're going to have to be very careful. Well, the rest of the league has not been nearly as careful. And as a result, we've got a kid that's averaging 18.1 points per ball game. But the perimeter in particular is going to be tough for Wichita State. Wichita State is not a good three-point defensive team. Their opponents are shooting almost 47% from three in six of the last seven ball games. If Houston shoots that well, Wichita State's going to have their work cut out for them.
Armani Brooks, sixth man of the year in the conference. Fabian White was on the all-rookie team, a freshman. So this is a team, Houston, that has some depth. That's not going to be as much of an advantage for Wichita State as maybe it is in some other games. This should be a really good game, I think. There was a meeting of elite Houston alumni last night on Press Row. Elvin Hayes came rolling by. He does their radio games.
He
talked with Jim Nance, who I think will do the game for CBS today. He was a golfer at the University of Houston. So that's
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's talk about the fans. That has kind of been the off-court story here in Orlando these two or three days. Just Shocker fans everywhere, not a surprise to us. And I think it's interesting, not from the standpoint of just tipping your hat to the fans, but recognizing what an asset that is for Wichita State's basketball program. Dave, what are your impressions of the fan turnout here?
It's shocking, and it's expensive to get down here, and it's a long way from Wichita. As we looked out last night, and the Shocker fans are adorned in in gold and yellow and black in every section, every section. Wichita State vastly outnumbered, probably 20 to 1 for fans from any other school. I mean, it's just overwhelming. Maybe several thousand fans. And they carry Wichita State. They give them a lot of energy. I think it's just as important for them. It's reminiscent of Coach Marshall recruiting Fred Van Vliet, and when Van Vliet is in for a visit, he and Coach Marshall are walking around the concourse at Coke Arena, and there's a woman that's walking, and she's in her late 70s or early 80s, and she's exercising, and Coach Marshall stops her and says hello to her, and he says, "This is Fred Van Vliet, and he's a kid we're trying to recruit here. Tell Fred what you think of Shocker basketball." And she said, "I'll tell you what." She said, "My husband is elderly, and we've done well in our lives. We live in a nice house. We drive nice cars. But if push comes to shove, I would give up my husband, my house, and my car before I give up Shocker tickets." And Fred Van Vliet said, "That's when I decided I wanted to come to Wichita State." And that travels well. That kind of support and that kind of energy travels well. The people here are just berserk for Wichita State basketball, and that's one of the reasons they win so many games.
Definitely. I think the people in the American Athletic Conference, the administration, I think they knew. I think it's been an eye-opener to maybe some of the people from the other schools, although they've seen Wichita State fans, you know, coming in to the on the road this season. But I think that it's such an important factor in, you know, helping get Wichita State into the American Athletic Conference. It helps get them into some of those great holiday tournaments. And I think it's, you know, you mentioned the expense. Coming to Orlando is no small price tag, and I think that's something that, you know, definitely deserves a mention as an important part of this whole story, is how well the fans have turned out here.
And they're great, and they're vocal, and they're knowledgeable. And what they do, Paul, and you know this as well as I do, they save their money up. This and the NCAA tournament, this is the vacation for a lot of these people. They deprive themselves of some extra special things in life so they can follow the Shockers. And they just go crazy over them. They embrace them. And I believe strongly that's one of the reasons Wichita State has done so well.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, Dave. Thank you very much for giving me a few minutes this morning. I'll let you get on your way to Disney
welcome.
Or go wrestle some alligators or some other kind of Florida pursuit before this afternoon's game.
Or work on stats this afternoon in my hotel room.
You can do that too.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Dave.
Uh-huh.